कुंजा बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन पल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जन पल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जना यमुना क्षीरापन यमुना क्षीरापन जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन पल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन पल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जना यशोदनन्दन व्रज जनरञ्जना यमुना क्षीरापन जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
परमहंसपति प्राचकाचार्यस्थोत श्री श्रीमार ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंसपति प्राचकाचार्यस्थोत श्री श्रीमार Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananti Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinatha Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Sri Navadvip Mayapura Dham Ki Jai. Sri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Sri Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Sri Dwarka Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Mahi Ki Jai. Yamuna Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulasi Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaura Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Na.
Na.
Hyantaram.
Hyantaram.
Bhagavatiha.
Bhagavatiha.
Samasta.
Samasta.
Kuksav.
Kuksav.
Atmanam.
Atmanam.
Atmani.
Atmani.
Nabho.
Nabho.
Nabhashiva.
Nabhashiva.
Dhira.
Dhira.
Pashyanti.
Yatra,
Yuvayo,
Suralingano,
Kin, Vyupaditam, Hyudarabedi, Bhayam, Yatosya. Na hyantaram bhagavati hasamasta kukshav.
Na hyantaram bhagavati hasamasta kukshav.
Atmanam atmani nabo nabashiva dhira.
Atmanam atmani nabo nabashiva dhira.
Pashyanti yat Yuvayo Suralingano Kim.
Vashanti Yatra Yuvayo Suralingano Kim.
Vyutpaditam Hyudhara Bedi Bhayam Yatosya.
Vyutpaditam Hyudhara Bedi Bhayam Yatosya.
Nahyantaram Bhagavati Hasamasta Kukshav.
Nahyantaram Bhagavati.
Atmanamatmani nabo nabashiva dhira.
Atmanamatmani nabo nabashiva dhira.
Ashyanti yatra yuvayo sura lingenokhyam.
Ashyanti yatra yuvayo sura lingenokhyam.
Vyutpaditam hyudarabedi bhayam yatosya. Nahyantaram bhagavati hasamasta kuksha.
Nahyantaram bhagavati hasamasta kuksha.
Atmanam atmani nabo nabashiva dhira.
Atmanam atmani nabo nabashiva dhira.
Pashyanti yatra yuvayo sura lingenokhyam.
Pashyanti yatra yuvayo sura lingenokhyam.
Vyutpaditam hyudarabedi bhayam yatosya.
Vyutpaditam hyudarabedi bhayam yatosya.
Nahyantaram bhagavati hasamasta kuksha.
In the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Iha, here, Samastakukshau,
everything is within the abdomen,
Atmanam, the living entity, Atmani,
in the super soul,
Nabha,
the small quantity of air. Nabhasi.
Within the whole air.
Eva. As. Dhira.
The learned.
Pashyanti.
See.
Yatra.
In whom.
Yuvayo.
Of you too.
Suralingano. Dressed like inhabitants of Vaikuntha.
Kim.
How. Yutpaditam.
Awakened.
Developed.
He.
Certainly. Udarabedhi.
Distinction between the body and the soul.
Bhayam.
Fearfulness.
Yata.
Where from.
Asya.
Of the Supreme Lord.
In the Vaikuntha world, there is complete harmony between the residents and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as there is complete harmony within space between the big and small skies. Why then is there a seed of fear in this field of harmony? These two persons are dressed like inhabitants of Vaikuntha. But where from can their disharmony come into existence?
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Just as there are different departments in each state in this material world, the civil department and the criminal department, so in God's creation, there are two departments of existence. As in the material world, we find that the criminal department is far, far smaller than the civil department. So this material world, which is considered the criminal department, is 1/4 of the entire creation of the Lord. All living entities who are residents of the material universes are considered to be more or less criminals because they do not wish to abide by the order of the Lord, or they are against the harmonious activities of God's will. The principle of creation is that the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is by nature joyful, and he becomes many in order to enhance his transcendental joy. The living entities, like ourselves, being part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, are meant to satisfy the senses of the Lord. Thus, whenever there is a discrepancy in that harmony, immediately the living entity is entrapped by Maya or illusion. The external energy of the Lord is called the material world, and the kingdom of the internal energy of the Lord is called Vaikuntha, or the kingdom of God. In the Vaikuntha world, there is no disharmony between the Lord and the residents. Therefore, God's creation in the Vaikuntha world is perfect. There is no cause of fear. The entire kingdom of God is such a completely harmonious unit that there is no possibility of enmity. Everything there is absolute. Just as there are many physiological constructions within the body, yet they work in one order for the satisfaction of the stomach. And just as in a machine, There are hundreds and thousands of parts, yet they run in harmony to fulfill the function of the machine. In the Vaikuntha planets, the Lord is perfect, and the inhabitants also perfectly engage in the service of the Lord. The Mayavadi philosophers, the impersonalists, interpret this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam to mean that the small sky and the big sky are one. But this idea cannot stand. The example of the big sky and small skies is also applicable within a person's body. The big sky is the body itself, and the intestines and other parts of the body occupy the small sky. Each and every part of the body has individuality, even though occupying a small part of the total body. Similarly, the whole creation is the body of the Supreme Lord, and we created beings, or anything that is created, are but a small part of that body. The parts of the body are never equal to the whole. This is never possible. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that living entities who are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord are eternally parts and parcels. According to the Mayavadi philosophers, the living entity in illusion considers himself part and parcel, although he is actually one and the same as the Supreme Whole. This theory is not valid. The oneness of the whole and the part is in their quality. The qualitative oneness of the small and large portions of the sky does not imply that the small sky becomes the big sky. There is no cause for politics of divide and rule in the Vaikuntha planets. There is no fear because of the unlimited interests of the Lord and the... There is no cause for the politics of divide and rule in the Vaikuntha planets. There is no fear because of the united interests of the Lord and the residents. Maya means disharmony between the living entities and the Supreme Lord. And Vaikuntha means harmony between them. Actually, all living entities are provided for and maintained by the Lord because he is the supreme living entity. But foolish creatures, although actually under the control of the supreme living entity, defy his existence. And that state is called Maya. Sometimes they deny that there is such a being as God. They say everything is void. And sometimes they deny him in a different way. There may be a God, but he has no form. Both these conceptions arise from the rebellious condition of the living entity. As long as this rebellious condition prevails, the material world will continue in disharmony. Harmony or disharmony is realized because of the law and order of a particular place. Religion is the law and order of the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we find that religion means devotional service or Krishna consciousness. Krishna says, give up all the all Krishna says, give up all other religious principles and simply become a soul surrendered unto me. This is religion. When one is fully conscious that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and the supreme Lord, and one acts accordingly, that is real religion. Anything which goes against this principle is not religion. Krishna therefore says, just give up all other religious principles. In the spiritual world, this religious principle of Krishna consciousness is maintained in harmony, and therefore that world is called Vaikuntha. If the same principle can be adopted here, wholly or partially, then it is also Vaikuntha. So it is within any society, such as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, putting faith in Krishna as the center, live in harmony according to the order and principles of Bhagavad Gita, then they are living in Vaikuntha, not in this material world. Om Agyanti Midandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshurum Vibhidam Jena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Andeham Sri Guru Sri Yudha Pada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dila Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Beneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vamsha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Binda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Astrakta Deshatadine
Sincerely honored, grateful, and very happy to be with you here in
New Raman Reti. Special gratitude to Her Grace Mokya Devi for so kindly allowing me to serve you in this way. And to each of you for creating this incredible, historic, wonderful community. Thank you. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, Text 33. This chapter is entitled Descriptions of the Kingdom of God. Today's verse is being spoken by the four Kumaras. We read in the earlier chapters and verses, they were among the first created children of Lord Brahma at the very beginning of the creation of this universe. By their own free will, having assimilated transcendental knowledge of the nature of this world, they chose to never age more than 5 years. Most 5-year-old children are really eager to grow up and do what their parents do, or what their older brothers and sisters do. But transcendental knowledge, they could see that all the joys and all the pleasures and all the goals of life that people strive to achieve in this world only implicate and complicate the complexities of material bondage. Those things that attract us for pleasure are the causes of misery. Therefore, they wanted to remain 5 years old. And because they had such great powers, they could do it. They didn't even wear clothes. They just wandered around. And they remained united together. I've never seen anywhere in the scriptures where the four Kumaras are ever arguing or fighting. This is mine, this is yours. They were detached. They were completely united because of their detachment. Janasya moho yamaha mameti. They weren't thinking in terms of I and mine. They were seeking Brahman, or self-realization. And they could travel wherever they liked. Various parts of material creation. In this chapter we find they made their journey to Vaikuntha with great expectation and anticipation to actually see Vaikuntha. But at the gate, before they could enter, these two gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay, stopped them. They considered, because you are little children, you know, most people who come to Vaikuntha are great sages who have attained the ultimate perfection of life, but these little naked children, you are not qualified. Go away. So that's where this verse begins. The four Kumaras, they were not seeing distinction between old and young, white, black, red, yellow, brown, male, female. They were not even seeing the difference in species. They were Atmarama. They were
we're seeing the eternal soul everywhere and within everyone. So how is it that people here at the gateway of the spiritual world are making such mundane distinctions? And on the basis of that mundane distinction, not allowing us the right to be with God. It was ultimately a pastime of the Lord. In the future verses, the four Kumaras, in a spirit of service of the Lord, people like you create disharmony in the spiritual world. There can be no disharmony in the spiritual world. Therefore, you must go. Fall down into the material world. And they did. They became Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu in their next births. And that's a fantastic story that goes on for many cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. And while they're doing like this, we find Lord Vishnu sees they're all his devotees. The Lord wanted to fulfill many purposes. He came out of Vaikuntha to the gateway just to try to resolve this conflict. And when he came out, the beauty of the Lord, the sweetness of the Lord, and the fragrance of the tulsi leaves on the lotus feet of the Lord entered into the senses and the mind and the heart of the four Kumaras, and that's when they attained pure bhakti. Atmarana Shtramuneya. This verse that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained in so many ways that even the greatest Brahman-realized souls, when they come in contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they surrender to the Lord. Param drishtva nivartate. Srila Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that what the impersonals consider to be an ocean of happiness and peace, ananda, in this Brahman realization of one's oneness with God, is not even a particle of a drop of the happiness of loving service to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declared prema bhakti prema pumarta mahan, that love of God is the ultimate supreme goal of life. It is the purushartha siromani. And the four Kumaras, they gave up their impersonal conceptions and for the rest of eternity engage in the loving service of the Lord. And similarly, Shukadeva Goswami, he was Brahman realized from his very birth. But when he heard the pastimes of Lord Krishna, he surrendered into the loving service of the Lord. This is bhakti. So we'll go back to this verse. The four Kumaras, they're amazed to see how there can be material distinctions which create disharmony in the spiritual world. And Srila Prabhupada, in this wonderful, very deep, illuminating purport,
is describing from various perspectives what we could learn from this verse. I think if anybody deeply studies each word of Srila Prabhupada's purport in this verse with a humble, prayerful mood to understand it, can go back home, back to Godhead. Of course, you have to chant Hare Krishna very sincerely in order to do that. In this world, a place of duality, a place of division, a place where prakriti kriyamana nigunai karmani sarvash ahankara vimutatma karta hamitimanyati. Every conditioned soul is thinking, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am the proprietor, I am the controller. Everyone's thinking like that. Deeply conditioned. And many with an obsessive need to enjoy, trying to prove to themselves and prove to others that I am superior. How could there be harmony? And sometimes devotees, when we understand what Krishna consciousness is, harmonizing our own body, mind, heart, with our soul, and then harmonizing with others, but we become confused. And one of the confusions is that we think that in order for there to be harmony, there needs to be externally no divisions. There needs to be no cause for fighting, quarrel, and all of these other things. And when the atmosphere is just right, when these things don't exist, they're not attacking me brutally, then I could be a part of this harmony. But the problem is, that will never happen. As long as we're thinking this way, we will remain in the illusions of this material world forever. Because the material world never creates an optimum situation. And in many ways, if it did, there would really not be such a need to surrender to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is quoting several times in this verse that the only true religion is sarva-dharman parityasya. To abandon all varieties of religion and surrender to Krishna. And in many ways, many of the dharmas of this world or religions is to adjust material nature. You know, through piety, through impiety, whatever it may be. But here we find, even within the Krishna consciousness movement, if we were united because there was no reasons to fight and material nature was not providing every opportunity to disagree and have enmity and envy and all of these other things, we wouldn't really have the chance to surrender to Krishna. That is the only solution. Sincere devotees who are trying to carry out Srila Prabhupada's instructions. How is it that Srila Prabhupada gave that very famous instruction? He's giving it in his books all the time, but even just before he left this world in Sri Vrindavan Dham,
He told, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate to preserve and spread this mission. That's one of the most difficult instructions. What he's saying actually is you have to totally surrender to Krishna, because otherwise you can't cooperate. Because material nature is never going to be the way you want it to be. And whenever material nature appears to be the way you want it to be, it's always a trap. Always. From the highest planet to the lowest, to places of misery. Only if you take shelter of me can you come out from this. So when things seem to be really nice, and of course, devotees are trying to make things as nice as possible. But still, it's not gonna. Whenever we think that material nature is just right now to practice Krishna consciousness, just right for there to be a united community, we're singing, we're dancing together, the sun is shining. It's really nice temperature. Somehow or other, we're all in good health. Let us dance and sing for me. It's a trap. It's a trap. It's like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave example how Maya works. A deep, dark well and putting really beautiful grass over the well, over the hole of the well. And we think this is such a fragrant, soft, ideal, comfortable place to sit. Just see how Krishna is so merciful. He's giving me this beautiful sitting place. And then you go and you sit. And sometimes for a while, it's, oh, it is, you see, it's true. It is a really nice sitting place. Because when Maya actually, if she just exposes the miseries immediately, it's not so much of a trap. She gets us comfortable there. She gets us conditioned there. She gets us feeling happiness there. And then, into the well. That's the science of material nature. So to think that all devotees are going to agree on everything and everything's going to be nice is Maya's trap. The reality is the only way we could actually be Krishna conscious from the perspective of what Prabhupada is describing as Krishna consciousness here. Srila Prabhupada here is describing Krishna consciousness in a way that it's not just we declare ourselves to be devotees. It's a state of consciousness where we're actually striving for this higher level of awareness. It's not easy. At every moment we have to be adjusting ourselves to uniting our own mind with our soul. And in the process, uniting ourselves with other devotees and with the purpose of creation itself. We must be striving for this higher principle. It's not going to happen on a lower level. But this is our conditioned tendency. We're trying to do it on this lower level. Just a couple days ago, I was listening to a recording of Srila Prabhupada. It was Nectar of Devotion classes in 1972 in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And Srila Prabhupada was describing there's United Nations and League of Nations, and so many people are coming to try to figure out how to keep all this quarrel and fighting and problems and exploitation from affecting the world. And Srila Prabhupada said, it cannot work because people do not have pure hearts. And Srila Prabhupada described the Krishna consciousness movement means we could help to resolve these problems because we have pure hearts. So yes, there's management and we have to deal with all these things. You know, if the electricity goes off, it's not that we just go, Hare Krishna. I must purify my heart. Or if a devotee has a heart attack, we stand around and say, Hare Krishna, I'm just going to purify my heart. You know, we have to, you know, give medical attention. We have to fix the electricity. We have to deal with all these things. That's dharma. But we have to deal with these things from a perspective of a pure heart. Which means we have to, the more we see complications, implications, quarrel, and miseries, the more we have to take seriously this call. Yes, I must do the needful, but I must purify my heart. In Kurukshetra, Duryodhana was fighting, and Arjuna was fighting. Krishna told Arjuna, you must perform your duty. You are Kshatriya, you are being called upon to protect the citizens and the dharma of the world. But he didn't say just fight. If Bhagavad Gita was just to get Arjuna to fight, Krishna could have spoken in two words, just fight. But all these 700 verses is that higher consciousness Arjuna must be striving to achieve in order to fight in a way that is actually going to be spiritually in harmony with the purpose of every aspect of life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he created harmony in the most unlikely situations. In Jharikhanda, there was a tiger sleeping on the path. Balabhadra Bhattacharya was thinking, please, Lord Chaitanya, don't wake that tiger. And these are Bengali tigers. They were much bigger and hungrier in those days than in the zoos today. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked right up to that tiger and placed his foot on the head of a sleeping tiger and kicked him. He gently kicked him and said, rise and chant Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
And the tiger looked up and saw Lord Chaitanya's merciful, compassionate form. And I guess he forgot he was a tiger. He realized, I'm an eternal soul and this is my beloved Lord. And he began to dance and chant Krishna's holy names. And Lord Chaitanya was doing this to so many tigers. But this was only the beginning of a lesson. Then Lord Chaitanya started attracting the deers to chant Hare Krishna. Now deers and tigers are enemies. Srila Prabhupada describes the tiger eats deers. One of the primary purposes of a deer's life is to escape from being seen by a tiger. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, they were embracing and kissing one another, crying with affection. It wasn't, you're a deer, I'm a tiger. It's a, you're a Vaishnava and I'm a Vaishnava. above these distinctions. And they even transcended the most deeply rooted conditionings of their own species, because they surrendered. And two of the very, very dear, most best friends of all Lord Chaitanya's associates is Advaitacharya, who is the leader of all the Brahmin community of Shantipur, coming from such a lineage of the most pure, exalted Brahmins. And his dear most friend and companion was Srila Haridas Thakur, who was an untouchable. He was actually ostracized, condemned by most of the Brahmin community. It was mostly Brahmins who were blaspheming him and trying to destroy him. But yet, such an example Lord Chaitanya gave. Advaitacharya called Lord Chaitanya to come to this world, and Haridas Thakur was the Namacharya teaching the method that Lord Chaitanya is giving to the world. They were, with all their differences, there was complete harmony because they weren't seeing these reasons for distinction. They were seeing the reasons for their unity. And of course, there needs to be discrimination. What's a deviation and what's not a deviation? But whether there's deviations, we need to understand what is the proper way to actually serve and please the Lord and create benefit to the world by dealing with people's deviations. And sometimes what we consider a deviation is just a difference of nature that people have and a difference of how they perceive the world. In one sense, the Varnashram system, there are so many variegatedness. There's the famous story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhima wanted to kill Ashwatthama immediately. And Draupadi said, no, no, let him go. Set him free. Bhima seeing from the point of view of a Kshatriya, justice must be served, must be served. He must be killed immediately. And Draupadi Singh, from the perspective of a mother, that I just lost my children and I'm suffering. Paradukaduki. The wife of Dronacharya is a widow. This is her only son. She should not suffer like me. Let him go. How to resolve this problem? How many are on the side of Bhima? How many are on the side of Draupadi? How many don't want to get involved? That's actually the way it usually works. Most people just don't want to get involved. But not getting involved doesn't resolve the problem. They had to, you know, they were both burning with a passion according to their desire. But somehow or other, you know, Krishna, he resolved the situation, because they both put Krishna in the center. It was somewhat of a compromise, maybe, but this story tells that there are going to be differences on so many levels, because we have different people according to their varna and their ashram, they're going to see the world in a different way. What to speak of our conditionings. But unless we turn to Krishna, unless we surrender to Krishna, unless we're really striving, of course we follow in the footsteps of the great souls who are teaching by their example, by their how they dealt with situations like this. But still they're calling upon us to understand it. If we really want to do something good for this world, we must take very seriously, not just fighting with one another about issues. But we must deal with issues in such a way that we're really striving for purification. Srila Prabhupada emphasized chanting our rounds sincerely and attentively every day, studying Srimad Bhagavatam sincerely and attentively every day. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anudas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes, he says, I'm not a Brahman Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra Naham Vipra Nacha Narapatir. I'm not all these distinctions and all these different natures and all these different conditionings. I'm eternally a servant of a servant of a servant of the servant of the Lord of the Gopis, Lord Sri Krishna. So in this recorded lecture, Srila Prabhupada was describing, if we really want to make a solution, we must deal with the dharmas of this world, but we must strive to have pure hearts. And we must strive to resolve and deal with things from the perspective of Sansiddhir Haritoshana. What will please Krishna? When we're really striving to put Krishna in the center, which means I'm not dealing out of envy, I'm not dealing out of enmity, I'm not dealing out of ego, I'm not dealing out of fear, I'm dealing out of pleasing Krishna. And we often find that what we think is such a huge thing is just a detail. But if we don't find the huge thing, which is pleasing Krishna, then the details seem like huge things. And it doesn't happen automatically. It will never happen mechanically. That's why Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing sarva dharma parichaya. We must surrender. Can a machine surrender? Surrender means an expression of one's personal free will. Surrender means there's so many alternatives that I can choose. But I choose what will please Krishna. I choose to live in harmony with Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada is describing that this Mayavadi idea that we just become one with the Lord is so, it's a serious distraction on the path of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the human body. The body is a whole. But yet, within this whole, there are so many parts of the body. Srila Prabhupada especially talks about the intestines. Anyways. Recently was Narasingha Chaturdasi. Narasingha Dev also emphasized intestines. After he liberated Hiranyakashipu, he took his intestines and put them around as a garland of victory. Now that sounds pretty grotesque for most people. Can you imagine if a devotee came in with a freshly ripped out intestine from a dead body around his neck? We would definitely not allow him in the temple. But yet when Nrsingadeva was wearing it, the demigods were showering flowers and all the sages were offering prayer. Because what is beautiful for a devotee is what pleases the Lord. That's what's beautiful. They're seeing the Lord's mercy. So all the different parts of the body are individuals. Each limb, each organ has a particular color, a particular shape, a particular location, and a particular function. And none can do what the others do. The liver cannot do what the kidneys do. But at the same time, neither could survive without the other. The eyes cannot do what the mouth does. The brain cannot do what the heart does. Each one has a very unique function. And if any of them are thinking themselves to be independent, the enjoyers, then the whole body is diseased. A healthy body is where every part of the body is doing their function as responsibly as possible, but at the same time completely appreciates the functions of every part of the body. They're not thinking, my service is better than you. The heart is not thinking, my service is better than the toe. If the toe is stubbed, the heart will send special blood. And every part of the body will send special energy to heal the little toe. That's a healthy body. Everyone there is Gopi Bhartur Puddha Kamale, or servant of the servant of the servant. The higher principle is the whole, Krishna. And every part has its own needs, and they're all doing their own thing. They're not lazy, but they're doing it as service to one another because they have this higher principle. And Srila Prabhupada is describing wherever this higher principle of striving for this purification and putting Guru and Krishna's desire above our own, that place becomes Vaikuntha. Every living entity is a part of Krishna. And everything in this universe is a part of Krishna. In Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, it's not that the gopis are thinking that they're better than the trees. The gopis are praising the trees for their wonderful service to Krishna. And the trees are praising the gopis. And they're never end. Did you ever hear of a Kalpa Vriksha tree being envious of the gopis? Why can't I dance with Krishna? They're just happy because together, she's playing her role, I'm playing my role, and together we're making Krishna happy. That's all that matters. And Srila Prabhupada describes that spirit is Krishna consciousness. And when Srila Prabhupada named our society the International society for Krishna consciousness. Now, personally, I kind of really struggled with that idea when I first heard it, because I really just wanted to learn from Prabhupada and be with Prabhupada, but then I have to join a society. Because I confess, in those days I was really antisocial. You know, living in a cave is so easy. You know, snakes and scorpions and leopards are so predictable. But a society of human beings from all different countries, international, from all of them. So unpredictable the way humans behave. But yet, this was Srila Prabhupada's mandate, that we assist him to create an international society, community. And in this beautiful purport, Srila Prabhupada is describing what it actually means to be a society in Krishna consciousness, and what it means to be Krishna conscious, wherein when we are in this spirit of actual bhakti, dealing with all these situations that will come, not waiting for things to get nice before the solution is made, but surrendering, even when things are most unlikely, because that's the only way the solution can actually be made, of establishing Krishna consciousness. And this is the way Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our beloved acharyas and Srila Prabhupada has informed us what it means to perform Sankirtan. Srila Prabhupada describes in the Krishna consciousness movement, everything we do is sankirtan in one way or another. Because we are united on this higher principle of surrendering to Krishna, pleasing Krishna, under the supremely merciful guidance, leadership, and example of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. But problems will be there. But in a Krishna conscious society, it's not just the pursuit of solving the problem, but it's how we respect, honor, and cooperate with one another in solving the problems. That's what will attract Krishna to come and help us. Thank you very much. Time is complete, yes? Yes, yes.
I just have a question. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, so much for such a wonderful class. I was thinking in my own practice, being such a new devotee, sometimes it's really an uphill battle, and there's so many rules and details, and I'm kind of fighting to just even get up to this standard. And sometimes that's the cause of disharmony in my life, that I'm fighting so hard to reach some standard. And I was thinking, I don't have complete thoughts, I'm hoping that you can answer this, but I'm thinking that I've been given so much mercy in my life, and I think that the cause of disharmony in my spiritual life is because I also haven't learned how to be merciful or embody that quality. So I'm just wondering if you can speak on how harmony and mercy are connected.
Hare Krishna. That is a very deep subject matter. But under proper guidance with a sincere heart, we try our best. We're honest and we're sincere to try our best. It may be one step at a time, but that step is moving forward in the right direction. It's not that because you're not a paramhamsa that you should give up hope. In whatever state we're in, there's infinite hope. If we just strive to follow the best we can. And all the rules and regulations are actually expressions of mercy to help us to define our lives in a way to put Krishna in the center. In deity worship, according to the classical methods of deity worship, there's so many rituals for everything you do and so many mantras to be chanted. And we could think that this is just a distraction. And it could be a distraction if we're doing it, for some sort of ego, to show people that I could do it better than anyone else. Or it could be a distraction if we just think that that in and of itself, the ritual is pleasing Krishna. But they're there so that our consciousness is completely absorbed in remembering Krishna and being here and now doing this as an offering to Krishna. So the rules and regulations are meant to facilitate going deeper and deeper into a consciousness of devotional service to Krishna. But the purpose is not to follow the rules. The purpose is to follow them in such a way that it pleases Krishna. But it's pleasing Krishna that's our purpose. So we should not lose hope. We should be enthusiastic to strive to be the best we can. And Srila Prabhupada has given us such a beautiful path. And what may seem difficult, we earnestly and honestly try our best to do it right. And Krishna is pleased. And what was the other part of the question?
How to embody the quality of mercy.
Hmm?
To give mercy, to become merciful.
How to be merciful? Krishna's merciful. We're just trying to bring people to Krishna without ego. Srila Prabhupada is our acharya. When he was on Jaladuta, just coming before establishing this movement, looking out at the Boston Harbor and seeing America and the skyscrapers, He wrote in his diary that these people are in passion and ignorance. How will they understand me? Somehow or other, you brought me to this place, dear Krishna. And he prayed, Krishna, only if you give me your words to speak, and you give them the ability to understand your words, will they be happy. Srila Prabhupada's prayer was that all these people be happy. Srila Prabhupada was praying, make me your puppet and make me dance the way you want me to dance. So we shouldn't think that we're merciful. Srila Prabhupada and the senior Vaishnavas, the sincere Vaishnavas, the acharyas, they are merciful because they're carrying Radharani and Krishna's mercy. And if we think we're merciful, then that ego blocks the mercy from flowing. Srila Prabhupada would look out at his devotees, and with great emotion, he would thank all the devotees. You are all representatives of my spiritual master. And he was asking us to assist him for all generations in the future in serving his spiritual master. So we are carrying the mercy of the Lord as it is being given to us by Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. And by receiving it and sharing it, we become purified. And everyone else could become purified. So in other words, we're not trying to be merciful. We're trying to be sincere, honest servants of those who are merciful. And that is the perfection of life. Thank you. I think we should end now. Thank you so very much. Hare Krishna.
Just a reminder that today is the 6-hour kirtan starts at